Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 84, which you'll find on page 595 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen.
We read again in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 19 at verse 1. Luke 19 at verse 1. You'll find this on page 1053 in the Pew Bible. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time when he has this encounter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is going to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." God will bless to us the reading of his word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been given to us as your best gift. And we pray now that as we stand in your word, that your Spirit would be our guide, bringing us to that place where we know ourselves better, but also that we know our Lord Jesus better and are more committed to following in his ways. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, friends, if we were looking for a statement that best encapsulates the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ to this world, then we can do no better than the words of Jesus himself in the story we read from the Gospel according to Luke earlier. where Jesus, after the transformation that had come about in the life of this man, Zacchaeus, Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Earlier on in the Gospel, Jesus has told these three stories that I mentioned earlier to the children. Three stories about people who were seeking things that were lost. The shepherd seeking his lost sheep. The woman who had lost her precious coin. And the father who day by day found his heart going out to this son who was lost. And Jesus was making the point through these very simple but very powerful stories that this is the attitude of God towards all those that society might consider to be lost, and that this is an attitude that he wishes to see established within all those who would follow him. And that is a huge challenge for each and every one of us. It was a huge challenge for the people of Jesus' day, especially for those who were part of the religious establishment, many of whom felt that the only way for them to be holy was to keep those who had morally fallen at a considerable distance. Jesus was saying that if you want to reflect the being of God in your life, then you have to be willing to seek and to save the lost. It's interesting though that the classic story of a man who was lost but was found by Jesus, the story we think of more than any other of someone who was on a downward slide but was brought back up by our Lord Jesus himself. It wasn't someone who was like the lost son in the story of Jesus. Someone who was obviously someone who had fallen. The classic story of someone who was lost but was now found was the story of a man who on the surface had it all made. The story of a man who was wealthy, who had status, and to some extent also had power in his society. The problem with Zacchaeus though was that he was a tax collector, that he gathered taxes for the Roman oppressor in Israel, and was given opportunity to gather more than he was actually entitled to gather, to line his own pockets. But that wasn't the entire story. Because people respond to things like that. And those who had been swindled by the tax collectors made sure that they knew that they weren't the most popular people in the community. But you know, you have to hold against that the fact that in several places in the Gospels, we find stories of tax collectors who threw big parties and many people came. Because there will always be people who like to be around the rich and the powerful, even when they know that their hosts might be slightly dodgy. So on the surface, although there were these problems in Zacchaeus' life, on the surface, he didn't have a bad life. Which was why the spectacle of this man who was so well known in the community, the spectacle of this man actually making a fool of himself over a wandering preacher with the dust of the road on his clothes, why that is so extraordinary. What was it that drew Zacchaeus to Jesus? Was it just that he was curious to know what all the fuss was about? He would be the kind of man who would want to know what was going on in his community. In modern times, we might say he liked to know what was trending. And so he's just there to see what was going on. Maybe he'd heard about the incident that happened outside the walls of Jericho when Jesus made a man who was blind see once again. Well, I think it was more than just curiosity that led Zacchaeus to Jesus. I mean, just think of the details. Zacchaeus does something that no self-respecting adult would ever do in public in Jesus' culture. He ran. And then he does something else that no self-respecting adult would do. He climbs a tree in order to see Jesus. It's as if he's being seized by some great inner compulsion that has to be satisfied. If this man can make blind men see, maybe there's something he can do in my life that will make a difference. So we can discuss all these things. There's so much that's unsaid in the story. But what is of most importance, I believe, when we're reading this together, is Jesus' response to this wee man who's sitting up a tree. And the first thing I think really that's of importance to us is that Jesus sees him. And that might seem like an obvious thing to say, but this is where it all starts. We're told that when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was up the tree, Jesus looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Come down, because I'm coming to your house today." And what I want to ask of this story this morning is, what exactly did Jesus see when he looked up and saw the wee man in the tree? Did he see the wealthy man? Did he see the influential man? Did he see the man who had some place in his community? Well, you know, you think about other incidents where our Lord Jesus was able to see into the very souls of men and women and to know who they were in the depths of their being, not just what was on the surface. And when Jesus sees this man, what he sees is a man who needs to be saved. He's not dazzled by what's on the surface. As far as Jesus is concerned, this is the sheep that went astray. This is the coin that got lost. This is the son who has gone away into the far country. Jesus is looking deeply into this man's inner being. A foretaste perhaps of that moment when the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ is surveying a series of congregations in Asia Minor. And his eyes light upon the church in Laodicea, which in so many ways is successful, which is wealthy, but which is complacent. And he looks into the soul of that congregation and he says, everything seems to be wonderful on the outside, but I am looking at your heart, I'm looking at your soul, and I know that you're poor, you're naked, and you're blind spiritually. Well, this is where we are when we realize the presence of our Lord Jesus, someone who is looking into our souls to the depths. And it doesn't matter who we are. You know, I once heard it said about someone that he was immune to status. Immune to status. You know, the kind of person who's the same with everybody, whether they're the highest in the land or the lowest, they're the same person. And that is Jesus. He can see through all the padding that we wrap around our lives. And he can see our deepest need. And contrary to what people believed at Jesus' time, and contrary to what we still tend to believe, there is no sadder case in society than the rich person who thinks that he's got it made in this life and yet has no thought about the life to come. There was a time when two brothers came to Jesus and they were squabbling over their inheritance and they wanted Jesus to sort it out. And Jesus immediately responds by saying that too many people are concerned about material prosperity and have no thought at all for spiritual prosperity, because it's only if we are rich in the things of God that we can stand before him in the life to come. And he told the story of the rich man who had a bumper crop, remember? And this man's looking at everything he has and he says, this is wonderful. I'll need to build more barns to put all my crops in. And then I'll just take my ease for the rest of my life. I'll eat and drink and enjoy everything that life has to offer. But then the voice of God breaks into this man's experience and says, you know, you're being very, very foolish. You're rich in the things of the earth. But where do you stand when it comes to spiritual prosperity? And you know, that is the story of Zacchaeus. He has nothing to take into eternity. Everything that's of any value to him can be here today and gone tomorrow. And this is what Jesus sees when he looks at this man. But then also, Jesus gives him some time. You know, he's on his way to Jerusalem for the last time, Jesus. And we know particularly from the Gospel according to John, you know, John, who was perhaps closer to Jesus than any other of the apostles. Very often John is symbolically represented as the eagle that was reputed to be able to look into the eye and into the sun and not be blinded. And very often John is looking into the very heart and soul of Jesus. And there were times as the cross drew near that Jesus was very troubled within himself. Not just the prospect of the pain, but the prospect of coming into the presence of a holy God as the Son of the world. Jesus trembled at the very thought. And this is him walking towards that time. So much in his mind, but he still stops when he sees the blind beggar He still stops when he sees the man whose soul is poor and naked and blind. Jesus reaching beyond himself in order to minister to those in need. And that might be no surprise to us. This is Jesus as we know him, setting aside his own concerns in order to minister to the lost. Do you remember that time when his disciples had been out on a mission? And it had been very demanding, but very successful as well. And Jesus said to them, well, now we're going to have some time together. We're going to have a quiet time. We're going to go to a lonely place where you can rest. And they step into a boat to cross the lake. And when they arrive at the other side of the lake, the people have seen them and where they're going. And as they step off the boat, there's crowds of people there waiting for them. And we would understand if Jesus just said, well, folks, look, you know, we're actually looking for a quiet moment here. I hope you understand. But we're told that Jesus looked out on this crowd. And he saw that they were harassed and helpless. That's the words that Mark uses. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he set aside the time he'd prepared for his disciples in order to minister to these people. And you know, very often when I'm thinking about this and I apply it to myself, you know, the obvious thing is you should never be too busy to have time for people who need assurance, who need comfort. But, you know, I think there's something else here for all of us. In order to get to that place where we have time for those that need us, in order to get to that place, we need to be sure within ourselves that when we go to our Lord in prayer, that He has time for us. That His heart is turned towards us. That His arms are reaching out to us to embrace us and to give us all the resources that we need in order to follow the ways of Jesus. Remember Paul at that moment, when he was going through a traumatic experience, and we don't get the details, but it's towards the end of his life, and he was feeling totally exposed, deserted by his friends, probably having to face a Roman court. But he says to his friend Timothy, I was able to cope because the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. And we need to remember that, friends. We can beat ourselves up about not being the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be, but we can go into His presence. And we can face the people that we are and know that it's possible for us to receive the resources that we need to reach out once again for His ways. You know, I can entirely sympathize with the writer of the hymn who says, come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardor glowing. Oh, to have the ardor of Jesus established in our souls, so that we can seek and save the lost. But it's a result of Jesus seeing this man, a result of Jesus spending time with this man, that Jesus is able to transform this man. It's a beautiful moment. No other word to describe it. When at the end of his time with Jesus, Zacchaeus is able to stand up and say, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if there's anybody out there that I've cheated in any way, they're going to get four times the amount back. So, this time with Jesus hasn't just been beneficial to Zacchaeus. It looks as though it's going to be beneficial to other people too. But he has been given the opportunity by Jesus to change. I love the old prayer. It's a prayer of confession where we're invited to confront those ways that we've fallen short in our lives. And there is a petition to the Heavenly Father to give us time, to give us opportunity to make amends. And this is what Zacchaeus is being given. Jesus has enabled him to have insight into himself. The time that he has given Zacchaeus has enabled him to come to the place where he's committed himself to a transformed life. Because it wasn't just Jesus' aim, whenever he engaged with people, just to give them warm, fuzzy feelings at a psychological level. Whenever Jesus came into contact with people like Zacchaeus, what throbbed through the whole encounter was this great purpose to seek and to save the lost. And this has happened. At that moment, the angels in heaven are rejoicing because a man has turned away from the things that were worthless in the eyes of eternity and has embraced the things that are good, the things that are true. It was always Jesus' priority to seek and to save the lost. You know, in this minister's life, very often, people see the caller and they want to chat to you about something. You know, people say that it creates barriers. Sometimes it does. You know, you walk into a crowded lift and everybody's quiet. It's like that moment, you know, when John Wayne walks into the saloon and the piano stops and everybody is quiet. But there are other times when they see the caller and they want to talk to you about something. And I was coming out of the big hospital over on the south side not that long ago, and a man in a wheelchair asked if he could speak to me. And he told me his story. It was a story of drug addiction. It was a story of ruined relationships with those who were close to him. It was a story of wrecked health. He was in a wheelchair because he'd had a leg amputated. And most of the time I was just listening, and the conversation came to an end, and he thanked me, and off he went. And I'm walking to the car, and I'm thinking about this encounter, and wondering what difference I had made to this poor guy. And then it occurs to me, perhaps he just wanted somebody to listen. And that's fine. But if I'm looking for something deeper happening in someone's life, as it happened to Zacchaeus, then it's got nothing to do with me. It's only the Holy Spirit, the impact of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, that are going to raise them up from the kind of condition that this man was in. Remember, when the disciples of Jesus were struggling to heal a young boy, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus comes to them and he says, it's only prayer and fasting, boys, that are going to make a difference here. And that is a lesson, I think, that we all need to learn. We need to cultivate more dependence on our God and what He can do in people's lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, and not be depending all the time on our own strength and on our own resources. Yes, we do our best, as Augustine says, work as if it all depends on you, but pray as if it all depends on God. And I know the deficiency in my life is the latter. Do I really believe that God can transform lives the way He transformed the life of Zacchaeus? Do I really believe that God can transform societies? The Apostle Paul, when he was thinking about his transformation, he compared it to that moment at the beginning of all time when God said, let there be light, and light shone in the darkness of creation. And he said, it was just like that when God's light shone into my life, I became a new creation. And it was because of the power of this God who could speak the word and bring the whole universe into being. And if He can do that, He can change lives. He can change communities. He can change nations. Can we approach that faith this morning, where we believe, as Jesus said, that salvation can come to houses in our community, in our nation, in the world, where we believe that men and women can become sons and daughters of Abraham, people who are touched by the gospel, by God's word, and who go forward into the unknown future, knowing that whatever happens, their souls are safe with God, and their lives have purpose, because they're being drawn into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. God our Father, we ask that You would enable us to come to that place where we can celebrate all that You have done in our lives, but also what You've promised to do in the lives of others. And we pray that the example of Jesus in seeing the need, in giving the time, believing in transformation, that all of this would shine in our lives, and not for our glory, but for His. And we pray this in His name. Amen.